Job 14, verse 7. There is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. All it takes is a scent of water. That's it. As I was reading that passage, I just started thinking. I just felt like the Holy Spirit just kind of tying some other passages into it. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. This is God giving a word to Ezekiel for his people. It says this, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." What's he do? He takes a heart of stone and he removes it. What does water do to the rock over time? What does water do to the stone over time? It erodes it, right? Over time, there's erosion. And so some people, there's people in here today, you've been coming week after week after week, and every week you're just like, I see people. You know, I look around sometimes during worship too. You know, I see people and you're like, I'm not raising my hands. I'm not singing. I'm not doing any of that. And you got that heart of stone in you, but you're just a little curious. You're like, I want to see what those weirdos are doing this week, all right? And you just keep showing up week after week, and you just kind of keep looking. And you're like, but you know what? What's the water doing? It's eroding. The water just keeps coming and coming, and all of a sudden, the stone's going to break. And I'm just declaring today, I'm prophesying to dry bones, to stony hearts that are going to break today in this room. I'm prophesying to the bones. That's what we do. That's what this church was born out of. Ezekiel, when he was in the valley of dry bones, what did God say? Prophesy to the bones, son of man. And what did he see? He saw nothing but bones. He saw no life. And by faith, he just began to declare the word. And that's where revival came. He brought the bones up and the bones began to rattle. They began to move. And God put flesh on them. He breathed life back into them. And that's what we do at revival. We just look at the dry bones and we keep declaring there's going to be life, there's going to be breath, there's going to be water, there's going to be rivers of running water that flow through here. And so when we look out on these neighborhoods that we're surrounded by, guess what? This is a house of fire. This is a house that life is beginning to bud. Where other places are drying out, where businesses are dying in this area, where homes are being evicted and people are empty and it looks like there's nothing but death and emptiness, but they see hope right here. And so this becomes a place of hope in this area, and people begin to look here as a lighthouse, as a place where God is moving and there's breath, because we declare the word of the Lord in this place and he's bringing new life out of the stump. I'm telling you, when we first moved into this house, I just saw a dry stump. I've told people this before. When I first looked and walked through this building, I said, I don't want to be here. This is not where we're called, Lord. And he said, you'll go where I tell you to go. I said, okay, Lord. He closed every other door I was looking at, and he said, you're not ready for that yet. You have to step into this place and show me you can steward what I've given you. And so I said, I'm going to steward this the best you've ever seen, Lord. And some of you, you're like, you've kind of noticed. If you've been here from the beginning, you know it's like, oh, they've been painting. They've been doing some stuff. Oh, when we first walked in, some of you guys know this. We just finally got some of like there was junk everywhere. I mean, there was junk and trash, and we've just been packing it away, making it look neat, making it look nice. Some of you didn't even realize what we did this week. Me and Pastor Stone, Pastor Andrew, we had a bunch of extra paint, and we've been looking at these ugly walls out by the bathrooms and down the hall of the office. We're like, let's steward this building, baby. Yeah. And we went crazy. We painted this week. But you've been joining us. You've been stewarding this space. And we want to make it a place where everyone in this neighborhood, we just sent out 4,000 postcards within this area. And when they come in here on a Sunday, these people looking for hope, looking for life, there's going to be no excuse or no reason for them to come in and be like, oh, it's kind of an ugly building. I don't really like it. I don't want to go to church here. No. We're taking away every excuse that they might have that might make them walk into the building and say, I don't think this isn't for us. No, we're going to take away every excuse so that they walk in, they can just sit in the presence of the Lord, and they can just begin to smell the scent of water in the air. And that water's going to come. The rain's going to come. And erosion's going to happen. And stony hearts are going to break. And we're just prophesying that in the name of the Lord today. That dry bones will walk in, and they'll walk out filled. They'll walk out full. They'll walk out full of the breath of God. That's what happens in this place. Because wherever his people gather, he's there. He's there in the midst. Psalm 92, verse 12. This is our passage for the year. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Don't you want that for your life? Don't you want that for your life? Amen. I got one amen in here. I got one person that wants it. We want it. We want it. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I think of that when I read this Job passage. That even when you've been cut down, even when the enemy's been coming after you, that's what I love about Shane's testimony. The enemy kept trying to cut and cut and cut. But there was water in the air. No matter what was going on in Shane's life, there was water in the air, and there was water in the presence of the people surrounding him. He had a daughter and a son-in-law, and what were they doing? They were carrying the water. They were carrying the presence, even in a dry season when he was discouraged and beat up and being cut down by the enemy. There was somebody in his life carrying the water, and you get the privilege and the honor to do that for somebody in your life. You get the privilege and the honor. You get to carry the water. Invite him in. We're getting there. I know it's Labor Day weekend. Some of you are like, I wanted to check off church and then get to the lake. No. You don't need the lake. We got the water right here. All right? We don't need the lake today. We got all the water we need. John 7, verse 37, on the last day, on that day of the great feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. No more stony hearts. No. You got a heart that's flowing rivers, not just one river. You got multiple rivers flowing out of your heart. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But guess what? He's been glorified. He's at the right hand of the Father. And so now who's within us? Who dwells here with us? It's the Holy Spirit. He sent him. He's here. Be patient. Be patient. Erosion is happening. There's water in the room. Praise God for water in the room. Water wears away the stone, and all it takes is a scent. All it takes is the cloud of the size of a man's hand. Off in the distance, rain is coming. The scent is in the air. Streams are going to flow again, and rivers are going to run. Invite him in so the rivers can run. Praise God, even in the dry seasons, because you know you can smell it. There's water coming. Praise him. That's why we praise. When we get in here, we don't always feel it. We don't always want to, but I'm telling you, by faith, just begin to declare that he is good and that he's worthy and that you know the water's coming because he's faithful and true and he never misses. He always comes right on time. You want to know a red flag? That's what we're in. We're in a series called Red Flags. It's when someone's trying to shut the water off. When you're excited about God moving and flowing and speaking, moving in might and power in your life, your family, in your city, and someone is trying to tell you, you just need to calm down. You need to stay quiet. Don't make such a scene. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass your family or your church. I'm worried about what people might think. You're getting a little too crazy. You're getting a little too charismatic. all right? We start to put labels on things to try to shut people down. That's a red flag. That's a red flag right there. Because who wants to shut down what the Spirit is doing and how he's moving? It ain't God. God ain't trying to shut that down. It's the devil. The devil wants to shut you down. He wants you polite and quiet. He wants you civilized. He wants you looking just that right kind of way, respectful. Oh, no. You can come in here and you can dance like David. Let me tell you something. David, when he was dancing and praising and worshiping, Michael was looking down. And she looked down in disgust. And she said, oh, you're a king and that's how you're doing this? It's shameful. That's not how my father did it. And what did David say? The Lord took the anointing away from your father for a reason. He removed him as king over Israel for a reason. I won't care what anyone says. I won't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to praise him, not because of what you think, but because he's worthy. That's it. When the world tries to shut you down, you just keep praising. You keep lifting your hands. You keep jumping. I see these kids up here that gather during worship. And I just keep believing there's going to be a day where they see their parents worshiping and they see their parents declaring who God is. And they're going to see that. And it's just getting ingrained inside them. And there's something miraculous happening in them. And this is going to be a house where kids are going to dance and praise God. They're going to worship him. They're going to desire him. The rest, they're going to have a holy hunger. Like what Shane was talking about. They're going to desire more and more of him. Because his presence is greater than anything in the world. His presence is greater than anything the world has to offer. No matter what you might chase, the idols you might run after, the things that you want to worship in this world, these kids are going to grow up in this house and they're going to declare he's better than what the world has. Man. We're too civilized and intelligent to show any excitement or zeal. We want the church to look a certain way because that's how it looked when our mom and dad took us to church. And that's how it looked when our grandma and grandpa took us to church. That's how they did it. And the generation before them did it. And they were quiet. And they stood there still like statues with their arms crossed or their hands in their pockets. And their kids grew up and they saw that. Our kids aren't going to see that in this house. Our kids are going to see moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas that declare he's worthy to give them our hands and to give him our voice. That's what they're going to see. Yeah, there we go. That's what they're going to see. They're not going to see what we saw. They're going to see something different. There's generational things being broken off in this house. They're going to see a house that looks like Pentecost. Because guess what? When the Spirit came down at Pentecost, it didn't look prim and proper. In fact, to some people, it looked like they were drunk. It's going to look like that. It's going to look crazy. It's going to look wild. To some in the world, they're going to look at it and say, no, that's a little too crazy. To a lot in the church, they're going to say, no, that's not how we did it. That's not how my parents did it. That's not how my grandparents did it. We don't care how they did it. We care how he says to do it. He's given us a prescription for worship. He says to give him your hands. He says to give him your voice, to shout, to sing, to dance. We look at his word for an example of how we worship. We don't look at the world for how the world says we should worship. They were excited, they were jumping, they were joyful, they were praying in tongues, they were singing in the Spirit because he had taken out the heart of stone and he'd given them a new heart, pumping rivers of water through them that flow out into the world and begin to erode every stone around them. You got the rivers running through you. And it might be a little discouraging some days. It might be hard. It might be difficult. And you just keep saying, it seems like nothing is getting through to that person. It seems like nothing's getting through. Every time I have a conversation, every time I sit down with them, it feels like nothing is happening. And I'm telling you, there was a time when it looked like there was nothing happening on that stone, but the water kept running and the water kept moving and the water kept working. And what happens over time? The erosion takes place and that stone doesn't look the way it did before. Let the water run. Erosion, it's the process where rocks are broken down by forces such as wind and water. We know what the Bible says about the water. What's it say about the wind? John 3:8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Man, I still remember some nice religious folks when I got excited about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and I felt God first moving and speaking in my life. And I was in ministry, and I was probably 20, 21, and I felt all these pulls, and I felt these words coming to me, and I felt like vision was popping into my head, and I just kept trying to run. I kept trying to run, and I kept trying to race, but I had these nice religious folks, and they're nice, I'm telling you, but they're very religious, and they would pull me aside, and they would say, God doesn't work like that anymore. God doesn't speak like that anymore. That's dangerous. We don't talk like that anymore. And they just kept trying to hem me in and surround me and chain me up and put a bit in my mouth and say, we don't do things like that anymore. He doesn't move like that, not since Pentecost, not since the apostles. He quit doing that. He quit moving that way. And they were nice and they were religious, but I want to look back now on that moment and I can say, who told you that? Because that's not what it says in the Bible. That's not what it says in the Word of Jesus Christ. No. The gifts aren't done. The Spirit's not done. God's not done talking. God's not done speaking. He doesn't stop. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so I look back, and sometimes I'm a little mad, but I just pray for forgiveness for those people, and I say, I hope the Holy Spirit breaks that heart. I hope the Holy Spirit comes in like a wrecking ball. Miley Cyrus, no, I don't want to quote that. No. I hope the Holy Spirit comes in like a wave upon a wave against the rocks, and the rocks begin to crumble, because that's what the water does. And I hope those old religious hearts get broken in the name of Jesus, and they get renewed, and they get filled afresh with His rivers. Because I want to be mad, but I'm just sad. Because somebody else told them that. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't from Him. If there's something you've been believing and you've been saying, it's always got to be this way, I just want you to ask today. Ask yourself, who told me that? Why do I believe that? Why do I think the Holy Spirit stopped moving, stopped speaking? Why do I believe that miracles don't happen anymore? Who told you that? Because if it wasn't from Jesus, then it was from the devil. And it could have been somebody nice. It could have been somebody with good intentions. It could have been a very religious person that thought, I'm helping somebody. No. If it didn't come from His Word, if it doesn't line up with what His Word says and what His Word prescribes and what His Word describes, then I'm telling you, take it and throw it out and say, never again. I'm not going back. Because I only want to do what He's told me to do. Worship team, I'll invite you up as we get ready to close today. I gave you a short break, but also He said to me in Ezekiel 37, verse 9, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. They stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. God's church, God's body, it's not a social club meant to look prim and proper. It's an army He's raising up for the last days. He didn't give you that breath for no reason. He gave you that breath and that power to walk from glory to glory, in power and in might, from strength to strength, that you would take the rivers He's put inside of you and that you would let them run into every relationship of your life, and that it would begin to erode the hard places, the rocky soil. In fact, it would take the rocky soil and it would turn it into new soil, soil that's fresh and ready to receive the Word of God, that the Word of God would be planted like a seed and that it would begin to grow and that it would begin to grow down deep roots, and that as it breaks through the ground, we would begin to see branches springing up and new life and fruit that we didn't think was possible, because it's not, it's supernatural. That's what He's doing today. All you need is a scent of water, and it's going to bud. There's a scent in the room today. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come and you would breathe into this room today. Holy Spirit, where the devil's been trying to cut us down, we just ask for fresh life. That at the scent of water, there would become a new branch, a new bud springing forth, a new life producing fruit in the dead and the dry places. Lord, I pray that there's somebody in here today that they've been showing up week after week, and I pray today the stone breaks in the name of Jesus, that the stone is rolled away at the name of Jesus, that the tomb is empty, that Jesus stepped out, that he's given us new life. Stones break at the name of Jesus. There's wind and water in the room. He's about to break. If you want to receive him today, don't wait. Invite him in. Say, please come, Holy Spirit. Make my body a dwelling place. I am yours, Jesus. You are Lord and Savior. Invite him in today. Don't wait another second. Maybe you've been gone for a long time and you feel dried up. Guess what? You can come back for another filling. You can come back for more because there's more of him to experience. Invite him in today. Stones break in the name of Jesus. The devil's been trying to cut you down, but he can't uproot what God has planted. He can't take his axe to you. He can take the axe time and time again, but even when you're a stump, if there's water in the air, you're not dead yet. You're not dead yet. I smell water in the air. If you want the water, would you just stand up? If you want the water today, would you just stand up? Would you just lift your hands? If you want the water, just stand up and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would breathe on us today. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, who's seated at your right hand. We pray right now for stones to break, for stones to be rolled away. We pray for your breath to fill our lungs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it's already done. Spirit, we repent of anything unclean within us. Anything we've placed in front of you. We repent and we run from it. We flee from it and we chase after you today with all of our hearts. Jesus, we want more of you in this place. Remember when I was cut down. I remember 3.5 years ago when everything that I was trying to build on my own, it was taken and it was removed. And I felt like I was cut down. I felt like I was cut down, like I was left there dried up and dead, and I didn't know where to go next. I have a brother that kept telling me, you're not done. And he saw where I was. He saw I was dried up. He saw I felt like I was done. And he just kept speaking life into me. And he kept declaring life where it looked like there was no life. It looked like I was dried up and done and dead. And I didn't know how to go forward. And he kept declaring life over me. He prophesied into my life. If you need that today, come forward. That same brother, he's here today. I love him. Because he saw something that nobody else saw in that moment, and he spoke life to the dry bones. And if you need life spoken into you today, come find me, come find him, come find somebody on our ministry team today. We want to speak life over you today. We want to prophesy where the devil said, you're dead and you're done and you're dried up. We want to tell you and declare to you today, there's a scent of water in the air. He's in the room. Let's worship.